In the name of Jesus, amen. The miracle of the healing of the man born blind, recorded immediately previous to this text, is a fascinating account of exact opposites, of darkness and light, of blindness and sight. Jesus, the light of the world, stood right in front of this man's face. But because of the darkness in which he had lived all his life since birth, he couldn't see him while looking right at him. Only a miracle could change that. And do you suppose that as Christ mixed the clay with the spittle to anoint the man's eyes, that he might have thought to himself, referring to Genesis chapter 2 in the creation of man from a chunk of clay, as Luther calls it, "I've done this before." And this miracle is really only the beginning of a complete restoration fulfillment yet to come. He is beginning to do what he said he would do in Psalm 69, Messiah speaking, "Then I restored that which I took not away." This is sort of patching things up for a moment. Full restoration will come later. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Before the fall, Adam and Eve were pure in heart and could see God. They knew what he was like, how good he was, that his nature was to give and to serve. They knew that he was for them, that he was their dear father, and that they were his dear children, and that because of that relationship, everything of his was theirs. If you have the giver of the gift, Luther says, then you have with him all things. Well, obviously they knew that. He had turned the whole thing over to them. He had trusted them with everything, but perhaps with this disclaimer: "It's all yours, but you're not God and you don't know everything. And I don't want you to know about sin and death. That's not for you. Leave that to me." Or perhaps like this: "You can be trusted with a gun not to commit suicide. Or don't stick your hands in the machinery. That'll be hard to get out of. I'll have to come in after you." And then like little children who have been told not to touch the hot stove, they do it. And the father, as it were, watches as the son puts the gun to his head and pulls the trigger. And with that came the blindness and the awful, impenetrable darkness. Now, they could no longer see God, his goodness. They no longer knew that he delighted in them, even though he did, in spite of what they had done. Try as hard as they would, looking right at all the goodness of God and God himself, they had blinded themselves to him and to it. And while gazing right at him and right at it, they couldn't see. Perhaps this illustration will help to shed some light. The father looked searchingly into the eyes of the doctor for some sign of hope. He knew his little boy was on the brink of death, and no one seemed to know how to deal with this puzzling disease. The boy was so feverish and so out of his head that he didn't even recognize his father, and he rejected every attempt on the part of the father to come close to him and to hold him and to comfort him. As a matter of fact, the disease had so blinded the son, had so distorted his vision that he saw his father as the enemy. He was delirious. And with a terrified look in his eyes, he shouted at his father, "Get away from me. I don't know you. I'm afraid of you. I don't like you." What an awful disease. Here he was, the son wasting away in front of his father's eyes, and he resisted every attempt on the part of his father to come near him and to help him. How could the father not hate what this disease had done to his son? He, the father, would have to do something about it. It was evident that the son was powerless to deal with what was wrong with him. Somehow, he would have to take it on himself. His, God's, taking it on himself is the event in all of human history. It's the event which brought you here. It's the event which sustains all of us. It's God coming into this world after us, coming near us, to hold us, to help us, to heal us, to comfort us. When we rejected him, ran from him, he came to us. It's God himself coming into our world to get us out of the machinery into which we had stuck our hand. It's God taking on our disease, our blindness, our brokenness, so that we could be sound again and see him and what he's really like. Surely he hath borne our diseases. He came to take on our blindness, our eternal darkness, for people like us. Oh, not good people, not nice people, mean, selfish, self-serving, self-centered people. People who love the darkness in which they live. He came to take it on for people like us. People who hid, as it were, our faces from him, treated him as if he were the enemy. And it is him, the Messiah, in Psalm 130, crying out in his darkness, "How long wilt thou forget me, Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The poet describes it like this: Jesus, whelmed in fears unknown, with our evil left alone, while no light from heaven shone. Utter darkness. But despite that darkness, and in the midst of it, he did not strike out at his father. But in the darkness, he trusted. He trusted that he would deliver him, and he trusted that he delighted in him. Even though, as mankind's substitute, taking on the sins of the whole world, and thereby, as Luther says, making him the world's greatest sinner, he was still pure in heart and so could see God. He had his eye on him. And it is that eye, it is that vision he has given to us. He has anointed our eye, and in the washing in which we have been washed, our eyes have been opened, and we've come away seeing him, the Son of God. And now he talks with us as he talked with that man in the text, born blind. The clay, marred in the potter's hands, has been plunged back into the lump, baptism, and an entirely new creation molded and shaped in the potter's hand. A new creation emerged. What a miracle! Complete restoration. Now we can see him. Pure hearts. What a blessing. We now know how good he really is. If God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. His own son. His only son. I'm convinced none of us would do it. If God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Everything restored the way it was. All things are yours, Paul says. All things are yours, whether of Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Complete restoration. He's our Lord, and with him we have everything. The blind man washed in the pool of Siloam sent. And the testimony of that blind man was, the one who sent me healed me. Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our profession, apostle, apostolos, one sent forth. And he says, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And we happily respond, after seeing his goodness, the atonement, with Isaiah, here am I. Here am I, send me. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, to comfort those who sit in darkness, so that these blind people can see him with us. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Here am I. We'll gladly do it, telling men everywhere that the one who healed us sent us, and that the vision, the seeing, is for them too. God grant us the strength and the willingness to do it in all of our lives, for his Son Jesus' sake. Amen.